Welcome into another episode of We're Talking Basketball, Raging Cajun Basketball with longtime Cajun fan, Mike Hebear. How are you this morning, Mike?
Doing real well. Still celebrating the championship.
Yes. Some good basketball over the weekend. I was glad with everything that was going on. It didn't conflict with a whole lot of things that I was able to watch it. So fun to see Cajun basketball back.
Yes, Friday night and Sunday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, mid-Sunday afternoon worked real well for people following college and summer pro football.
Exactly. Well, let's jump right into it, Mike. Cajuns went off Friday and played Harvard, which is a team that has been to the NCAA tournament in the past, obviously, but still, I'm not going to say lower level basketball because they play a different brand of basketball with Tommy Amaker there. So what were your thoughts on the... Really,
yeah, well, on the Harvard game going in, I knew we'd go against a team that wouldn't give up. Tommy Amaker team will not give up. I also knew that with three starters coming back, that, you know, it's going to probably be competitive at some point. And they would fight all the way, and they did. Now, in the first half, let's talk about the first half, if you don't mind.
Yep.
I was really impressed with the Cajuns' defense. They did a great job all the way around, doubling the ball a few times they got into the post, getting back out and closing out on the shooters, causing some turnovers, allowing them to get some numbers advantages. And despite all that, they were still not scoring as well as you like because they just didn't hit a three till late in the game. The perimeter shooting was really off early in the game. I don't think we made a three till 2-3 minutes left. I think we missed our first six in the first half, made our last two. But what's encouraging about that is quite often is you'll see teams when they not hitting their shots, they'll hang their heads a little bit and not play hard on defense. The Cajuns didn't do that. Of course, it helped having Terrence Lewis going off on the boards. You know, when we did get the ball inside a little bit, whoever missed with Jordan or Greg, Terrence was great getting the offensive rebound and putting it back up. He seems to have an instinct for the ball. You know, it's not all athletic ability. It's just almost an innate knowledge. I know which way that ball is going to bounce. I'm going to get it and throw it back in there. So he was key early in the game. Yeah. So, and we didn't turn the ball over much in the whole game, especially in the first half, which allowed us to have the lead. One thing I want to say is, you know, when the game of basketball is played, it's so fluid. Teams are going to make shots. We lost the lead at 19-18 after being up 6 or 7 in the first few minutes. But from that point on, what was the halftime score? We were up 34-23, I believe. So,
yes.
You know, from up 34-23, 19-18, that means we outscored them 16-3. That's a great finish. And they ended up having the last shot. We forced to miss. Had to go into the locker room feeling really good about yourself. But, of course, they play two halves, and the other team has got some competitive juices to them. They're not going to actually lay down. So, good first half.
Exactly. I think that you like you said, the only disappointing part was the 3-point shooting. But at the same time, I think what this team does really well so far, I think they finished well around the rim. Like you said, getting that offensive rebound and putting back up the second chance points. Did you see the same thing or is that just something I'm imagining?
No. Terrence especially finished well around the rim. And I was concerned about that. I've been concerned about that for years, you know, around the basket. He's got a soft touch around the basket. And I think Jordan had a couple of baskets in the first half. So good job by everyone. I think Cantrell hit the first three. And when the first three goes in, then it actually gives a lot of relief to everyone else.
Exactly. I mean, overall, not horrible, 6 for 17 on the day. You'd like to see that a little bit higher, but at the same time, that's average.
Yeah. Well, and we went into the second half and, you know, a couple of those threes actually fell early in the second half and got us out to a 20-point lead. Felt really good about the team at that point. Harvard calls a timeout and, you know, they go on a run themselves. Like I said, it's a fluid game. Competitive people are going to make shots. And their best player didn't really score much in the first half. I think he only had 4 points. What was his name, Greg? I'll find it here in a second.
Chris
Ledlam, yeah. He finished with 15, and he started going off in the second half, and all of a sudden the lead goes from 20-5. But of course, you know, like I said, a competitive team like that is going to fight back, and we're going to be able to have to hold them off. And then we hit some big shots. You know, everybody hit some big shots. Next thing you know, we got the lead out to 8-10, and we coast all the way down. Another player we want to talk about who helped us put this game away was Timus Fuchs. You know, he's from the area. He had some fans there. Saw some pictures with him. You know, he made some free throws down the stretch, held the ball, and he also got some big baskets. So good win, good finish.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I shouldn't say surprises me, but that when you look at the box score and everything, is that Harvard had four guys in double figures. They didn't have that one guy that just broke out. So to me, that's a little even harder to play because you can't guard just one guy. And as we talked about earlier, Tommy Amaker and those guys, his team is going to pass the ball well and move the ball well. I mean, you see that at Harvard, you see that at Princeton and all those Ivy League schools. If they're going to win the ball, they're going to win the game, they're going to pass the ball well. So, and they're going to play tenacious defense. And it goes back to your point about only 9 turnovers in the game. You know,
for us, that's great. And then Harvard had a double figures turnovers, which helped us get on the lead. Okay. So, good win all around.
Yep. How happy were you with the defense?
Extremely pleased in the first half. I won't say disappointed in the second half, but just commented it needs to get better throughout the game. We'll talk about that more when we talk about East Tennessee in a minute. Let me talk about the thing I think is critical in the game. 3 outstanding plays. One of them, and they all occurred in the second half. 2 of them helped us get our run. One of them is we do turn the ball over one of our few times. Harvard's got a 2-on-1 break, and Kentrell Garnett comes from behind, knocks the ball away, knocks it out of bounds. But that allows us to set up our defense, and we get a stop. That's a winning play that doesn't show up in the statistics. So great job by Kentrell there. Another play was they did get the ball inside. Joe Charles comes from out of nowhere, blocks the shot, gets down court, and hits a transition 3, and that helped us blow up to that 20-point lead. Now, you know, may say, okay, yes, we did give up the lead somewhat, got to 5 points, but you got to give credit to the team for actually getting to a point where they actually can maintain a lead like that, or acquire a lead like that, I should say. And then late in the game also, you know, they cut the lead to 5, we put it back up to 7 or 8 or something like that. And they're coming down the basket, the score, and Terrence Lewis just gets a great charge. No doubt it was a charge. Holds up to get them to go in the basket. So those are 3 critical plays that you may not see show up in the box scores.
It's
and that allows you to win the game. Great hustle by all the guys.
Yeah, I see that in a lot of plays, the way they're doing. I mean, Brown, I think, is a little bit more aggressive on the boards. And you brought up Lewis. I mean, this team does hustle well. Now, we'll see what happens if they have some adversity there too. So what else did you there?
Well, of course, not everything's perfect. And one of the things I noticed, we only had 2 guys score off the bench, was Joe Charles and Michael Thomas. And let me say this, that Michael Thomas is 2 buckets, a 3, and penetration of the lane, a little mid-range shot, were big in helping to stem the run. You know, when folks needed a little blow, which helped them put the game away late. But those were the only 2 guys who scored off the bench. We need Chancellor White and we need Jalen Dalcourt to score off the bench. They were both off a little bit on their shots. I think both of them may be a little too anxious, too excited. We see their shots, they go long a little bit, which oftentimes means they're not squaring up properly and letting it go too quickly. Sometimes not letting the ball go at the top of their jump. We need a little bit more arc. When you see the ball go long, there's usually something technical in the shot that's off. And it usually comes back to maybe a little bit too much excitement. So we need to have that change. I know we didn't get anything inside from Isaiah Richards either coming off the bench. So 2 guys scoring off the bench is not enough. That has to improve going forward. It improved slightly on Sunday. So we can move on to that if you like. But, you know, that's a concern I have. And there was a second half lull there too, and that seems to be a pattern, which is a concern.
Yeah, but – and that's what I wanted to ask you, because I noticed that. And is that something you think that's just a problem with the Cajuns, or you think that's basketball in general, where one team goes on a run and the other team kind of doesn't, and then the other team goes on a run? Is it a game of streaks, or is that something that the Cajuns need to improve on as a whole?
They do need to improve on it. They need a little more focus, especially on the defensive end. And But of course, like I said, the other team gets paid their own scholarship too.
Yep.
You know, and they're all competitors. When you lock them, you can knock them in the teeth, they're going to come back. You just have to be strong enough to come back and yourself and answer their run with one of your own. Look at an example. I went to the Pelicans game in New Orleans on Saturday night. The Pelicans led by 18 about halfway through the third quarter. By the time the quarter ended, they were down 3 and down 8 in the fourth quarter, and they ended up winning by 13. That shows you, and that, of course, that's pros where runs are more common, but that shows an example of what can happen. A game as fluid as basketball.
Great example. Appreciate that. Let's move on to the East Tennessee State game. Thoughts there, I guess.
Well, outstanding first half again, even better than the first game against Harvard, where we had what was our lead at halftime? 14? Something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, 42-28, something like that. And yeah, and well, early in the game, the defense was outstanding again. You know, East Tennessee's got a couple of big guys that are really strong, especially one that came on second half. We did a great job of doubling the ball and still getting back out and getting the three-point shooters, closing out well. You know, made some threes in the first half. Everybody was scoring. It was pretty well balanced. I have no complaints whatsoever about the first half. I can't really say anything negative about that. What did you think about the first half?
I thought it was good. You know, the one thing that I like about this team right now so far is that they seem to be, you know, in the past, there's been some times that we have a tendency to maybe come out big in the first half and then kind of fall flat in the second half. And some of that's runs, but at the same time, I thought it was a balanced score. And anytime you can score 81 points and it's 42-39 for your scoring, I like that, you know, as opposed to you can see what East Tennessee did. They came out 28 points in the first half, 49 in the second. And that's where I think we needed to improve was the second half, our defense.
Yeah, I will talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
I think one play, stood out to me in the first half, which is encouraging. And I've been critical in the past about, I think Jordan Brown needs to improve on getting the ball back out when he's double teamed. There was an ideal play like that. You know, we were making our run where he went in, got the ball like on the block towards maybe more towards the top of the key or on the corner of the free throw line, the elbow area. And he recognized double team, came right away, threw it back out for a wide open three for Kentrell Garnett, and he buried it, you know, and we need to see that more often.
Exactly.
That was a good example, good play in the first half. And yeah, and then as far as your second half, we can move on to that. There were two factors, I think, that led to the second half run by East Tennessee. One is their big guy, Haynes, just went off. You know, we usually couldn't control him. We were controlling him in the first half. Well, why couldn't we in the second? Well, one was Joe Charles, you know, hit some big threes in the first half. He had three of them. Wasn't in the game, so that hurts us on offense. But he's also very quick, and he helped us when we actually had to go double him. And then the second thing was Jordan got in foul trouble. So we ended up having to guard him one-on-one with either Lewis or Richards coming in the game. And, you know, he seemed to be scoring every time. They actually tied the game at 55. They never took the lead. They didn't lead in the whole game. In fact, one interesting thing about the tournament is we never had the lead. We had the lead or tied all but 20 seconds from the 19-18 in Harvard. So we never lost the lead against, you know, Tennessee. So we came back, we made some big shots after they tied it. Somebody hit a big three. And then it looked like, okay, Jordan got back in the game. Coach Marlin was bringing him in and out, in on offense, out on defense, in order not to get his fifth foul because he was going with 3 and 4, doing a good job there. But that let Haynes actually be open, you know, like I said, one-on-one. But it seemed to be once we got the lead up to 5, 6, 8 points, we said to ourselves, look, okay, we're not going to let them have a three. We were running people off the three-point line, despite the fact that their big guy was scored inside. And, you know, what was East Tennessee's threes? They made 5 or something like that. Their percentage wasn't very good, was it?
3 for 16, 18.8%. No, I was going to bring that up. And only 1 for 7 in the second half. And sometimes when you're scoring, you'll trade our three-point baskets for their two-point baskets because they're not going to gain any ground on you. So, yeah.
So we got the lead like that way. And then, like I said, seemed like Haynes was scoring inside. But then that's when Jordan was scoring inside too. He made 3 or 4 trips down the lane where he either got a basket or an assist on some good moves around the basket. So he ended up with 14 points. But it seemed like 3 or 4 of the baskets, 6, 8 points were at the critical time, which allowed us to hold the lead.
You know, I think you brought this up last time that we spoke, but Jordan seems to be using his left hand more from what I'm seeing. And I'm assuming he's right-handed.
Yes, he is. He's right-handed.
But he has done a tremendous amount of work with not only his shot, but his footwork too there, in my opinion, over last season.
Your footwork is the key to get your shot off, to be in the right position. Jump shooters like myself always say squaring up. It's a little different inside, but you still have to have your feet set before you can make the right move. And then let's talk about free throw shooting. One of the things I noticed is, okay, we ended up having to get in a bonus a little bit after East Tennessee did. That's another reason they were able to cut the lead. Yep. Well, when we did, when I saw us go to 7, and I kept thinking to myself, okay, if we foul, don't foul us on the floor. Foul us going to the basket so we don't have to shoot the 1-1. Jordan and Terrence Timmons, folks, late in the last 5 minutes, both made front ends of 1-1s and buried the second. 4 baskets, so that's critical there because that's the most pressure-filled play in college basketball to me, shooting the front end of 1-1 in a tight game.
Yeah,
so, Jordan didn't do that often last year. You know, there were some games, like a couple of times, you know, in the same situation where he just couldn't get it down. So, and he shot him okay so far this year. Let's hope that continues. By the way, which wasn't the case in the scrimmages from what I understand. So the coaches have to be pretty encouraged with that.
No, I thought I agree with you there. I mean, because you look at I'm not going to go back to it, but the free throw shooting against Harvard, we didn't need it, but it was not as well as did not play out as well as we did against East Tennessee. I think 9 for 11 down the stretch. So I'll take that any day of the week.
Speaking for East Tennessee, they weren't missing. They were 17-18 at one point. You know, they weren't just bearing it, which is, you know, 70% is a sort of a goal for a college team, almost any team like that. And when they're, you know, they were well above 90 at that point. But then they did miss a couple when pressure got to them. So that was encouraging. Well, I guess luck a little bit for us. If encouraging for us to make them. I know Timas missed the front end of a 1-1 lead, but we were okay there.
Jordan shot 62% last year. And I know it's early on, but 3 games in, that's still very, very encouraging, I guess.
Yeah, he's close to I'm sure right now with 8 and 9 out of in the first game, he's probably well above 75 at this stage.
Yeah, he's 90% right now.
So we talked about earlier that he changed his technique a little bit from last season. So let's hope that continues. Yeah, okay. And then, of course, the end of the game comes. I'm going to go over that scenario, you know, where we've got the lead. It's 79-74. Team of Smith's the one in the 1-on-1. They ended up hitting a corner 3. Wide open shot, good driver, and their guy, you know, we kept the ball away from Haynes. Like I said, that's one time we gave 3. So we have to come back down again, and we run the clock. We get a good shot off, doesn't go, and they've got a chance to tie. And Jordan's fouled out by then. Richards comes in. You know, earlier in the game, he may not have done a great job against Haynes, but on the last play, he forced a miss. He played outstanding fundamentals, moved his feet well, kept his hands up, forced a miss, got a stop without fouling. And then, of course, Greg knocks down the 2 free throws. And, you know, he's by that point, it's 2 shots. But, you know, you got to make them both to get it a 2-possession game. And, you know, and he did. So good job by Greg. So walk away with the championship and the trophy.
You know, you bring up Isaiah Richards, and I forgot about that. I wanted to talk about that as well. I think part of that is I think his footwork's getting a little better. He seemed awkward at times last year. But also maturity, having an extra some extra time under his belt too. That was a great defensive play not to draw the foul and also be able to stand your ground and cause the shot to be rerouted or you know, for the miss.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. You know, Haynes had been having his way down there, but you know, in that particular instance, he didn't come close to hitting the basket. So great job. And I don't know if you noticed how the rest of the team went out to Isaiah, and they were just giving him all kind of congratulations. Yeah, and he didn't play much at all on Friday's game. Had to come up big on Saturday and Sunday's game. In fact, you know, I mentioned in the first game we only had 2 guys score off the bench, which was Joe and Michael Thomas. And speaking of Michael Thomas, his 8 points were even bigger in this game. You know, he had 2 yes. threes and a little, you know, stemmed a run by the East Tennessee team, but the Bucks. I think he's the one who actually made the shot to put us back up 3 after they had tied it. You know, I know some people feel he dribbles a little bit too much, you know, compared to Timas. He's not quite as strong, maybe a little tougher to pick up the ball, get the pass off, but he's shooting the shots he made in both games were at critical times. So, yeah. So that needs to continue to give Timas the rest. Also, talked about Isaiah. He got a critical rebound at one point, put his back in. So there's, you know, another basket. And also on the run, Jalen Alcorn did make one basket, and he also got a free throw. So 4 points from him. So that's 6 points that from guys that didn't score on Friday that we needed every one of them to score on Sunday. Mitch needs to score. Probably because of how tight the game was and the matchups, Chancellor didn't play as much, but we'll think we'll see that going forward. Things going forward.
Richards with four rebounds. So, you know, I mean, he's doing his job coming off the bench with four rebounds, two on offense, two on defense. Hopefully he gets a little better with his free throw shooting. He only took one and missed one, but at the same time, those are usually ones that when he's in there getting fouled, we need to make. So,
Yeah, his free throw shooting is – he shoots the ball up a little hard. They always have to have – if you throw a ball up and get a little softer, soft touch around the rim, you get more likely to drop in. So there's improvement on the having the guys come off the bench with a little bit more scoring than in the first game. Still not enough. I don't know what happened on this one play that concerned me where there was a ball going on the sideline out of bounds. There was a fight for it. And Jalen Alcorn got called for a technical foul. I don't know what he said or what the reason was, but when that happened and the way that East Tennessee was shooting free throws, I said, I hope we don't lose this game by 2 points for basically not holding your cool. Basketball can be an emotional game like football. You're giving it all you got. It's fluid. You give it, you know, a lot of energy being expended. And sometimes it's hard to control those emotions while still playing hard. So fortunately, that didn't come back to bite us. I'll be interested to see what the coach said to Jalen about it. Maybe he said, okay, you were all within your rights to complain. On the other hand, he might have said, okay, you got to hold your cool. I just didn't want to lose the game by 2 points of that one play, especially for a team who can make free throws.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because that was going to be my next question for you if you had saw the play. To me, what it looked like, Jalen was going for the ball and knocked the guy down, then went to try to help the guy up, and the guy didn't want any help and basically said it kind of – and I didn't see him, but it looked like he either kind of slapped at his hand or said, you know, get away from me or something. And Jalen might have said, you know, screw you, in a little worse term than screw you, you know, and that's what you're going to get, you know.
You looked at that play, because I thought they were still going for the ball when the ball was out of bounds and maybe the ref had blown the whistle and one of them was still trying to get it. But you may be correct on your observation. Well, the coaches would have to answer that question. It's exactly what happened. I just know we couldn't afford a technical at that point.
Oh, I agree.
If what you said is correct, you know, the guy was declining and a hand up. Well, that's not very good sportsmanship, but at the same time, if he does that, you walk away, you don't give him any words.
Yeah, I agree.
Just let him say, okay.
That's where I kind of saw, because I watched it a couple times to see, because I didn't understand the technical when I saw that. But you're right. We've got to keep our cool, especially in a game like that. You don't want to have lose the momentum and lose everything there. So. But Jalen played well overall, I thought. And these guys, the thing I like about it, I agree with you on the scoring, but at the same time, I do like the fact that they're able to give some substantial minutes, 8 minutes, 13 minutes, 12 minutes, give these other guys a rest at the same time.
You have to. Yeah, especially like in Jordan's situation when they were going in and out. Isaiah on the defense versus offense thing, and Jordan came through. He made some big baskets. This type of game actually helps you more in a blowout, you know, where you actually have to make the critical plays down the stretch, have poise, hold your cool, both on offense and defense. I'll talk about the turnovers. You know, some people talk, well, we turn the ball over a lot. Well, I think we ended up with 12. Yeah. It just seems like it more because a lot of them occurred during the run by the Bucks in the second half. 12 is actually a decent number for a whole game. It goes back to how probably only had 3 or 4 in the first half. So, you know, it goes back to the excellent first half. Every play, the whole game counts. Some people said the last shot's not what beat you. It's the first shot that beat you.
Yep.
You know, every second counts. And the Bucks had 13. Consequently, most of theirs were in the first half, which allowed us to get out to the run. You know, not quite as well. Good job on there as on Friday, but still a decent number. Coaches will take 12 almost every game.
Oh, I think so. 21 over two games. I think they would say, hey, yeah, I'll settle for that right now. You want to keep it.
And also 10. Hitting the brick free throws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just, Joe Charles, was out for a while. I think he's going to be fine from all indications. It was precautionary, but I think he brings a different, how much him being out towards the end of the game though, do you think with them bringing in, having Brown come in and out, how much of that you think hurt us without
his? Well, I think if Joe had been healthy the second half, he didn't play 1 second in the first half. You know, they didn't really know he was search and understand until they got on a halftime and shoulders started to bother him. They put her in a sling. I understand hearing the same thing as you. It's nothing significant. I have no idea what his status is for tomorrow night. I understand, whatever it is, it's not going to be long term. But, you know, he hit some big shots in the first half. You know, with his, I mentioned earlier that, you know, some of the other guys, the jump shooters, maybe not letting the ball go to the top of their jump, throwing up a little too hard. Well, Joe and Cantrell set shots, so that's not quite as critical. You know, they just got to get their feet set and good follow through with their wrist. So, you know, maybe he's in there for it, makes a critical basket when we're struggling in there in the second half. Maybe they don't tie the lead. But the other thing, too, is the ball, he's very quick. He can guard people on the perimeter. And so when there's guards, we're out there coming in and driving in, you know, 6'7", 6'8", guy can guard guy on the perimeter. He can make that pass a little more difficult. And he's also pretty good at helping when the ball goes inside, being able to double the big guy and get back out to cover the other guy back on the perimeter and the pass goes back out. We didn't have that ability in the second half. So I guess I'm saying it was critical not having him. And had he been in there, who knows, maybe that we would have never lost the lead.
For a sophomore player, I think he's got great footwork and plays good defense. So, I mean, I think he's crucial to this team's success.
Yeah, yeah. Most of his shots, you know, are from a perimeter outshot, and he can also score inside, you know, when he just, you know, when you lose him on the perimeter, then he'll slide inside and get a pass and duck it in. Not necessarily going to get his own shot off, go driving to the goal, but he's also smart and he knows his strengths and his weaknesses.
Yep.
So, yeah, so hopefully he can play tomorrow night. I know people who went to the tournament I talked to said Joe told him when they were leaving, they got back home Monday morning, he was fine, but his arm was still in a sling, but it didn't hurt anymore. This was just precautionary. Okay. So we'll find out maybe later today if Coach Moreland gives a press conference pre Louisiana Tech.
Any last comments or thoughts on the tournament this past weekend?
Yeah, I understand that the championship trophy is some type of kayak, a pirogue, or something like that. I'm not sure what it is. Do you recall?
No, I saw some pictures. I didn't realize. I guess I didn't look at them that close.
Yeah, so that's sort of an interesting trophy. Apparently, they're going to have it at the on the court tomorrow night, the Louisiana Tech game. The team itself, I understand, was really pumped up about winning the championship because they know they were tested. They know they had to respond. And it's the first championship of the season, from what I understand, in all college basketball, it was the first tournament that, you know, that a championship was awarded. So pretty cool to win that. And not surprisingly, and a lot of recognition for his outstanding play in the first game and steady play in the second game was Terrence Lewis, won the MVP of the tournament. He got a little trophy for that himself. And I understand his parents took that back home with them.
Well, good for him. Yeah, it looks like it's a kayak. So I'm sure they have kayaks. They're kayaking in that area. Very nature-oriented. Very
in the rivers in Asheville. Rivers and lakes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, right on the edge of the mountains there. Yeah, so.
Beautiful area. I wish I'd have been able to make the trip.
Yeah, also we've talked about Terrence. Most of these tournaments will have a all-tournament team. One was not announced. You know, I'm sure had one been announced, Jordan Brown would have made it on our team. Haynes, I'm sure, would have, you know, was probably runner-up to Lewis as far as MVP, and London probably for Harvard. Interesting that Harvard actually blew out Elon in the second game after East Tennessee and Elon had a somewhat competitive game.
It surprised me a lot. I didn't expect to see that because I think East Tennessee State is a good basketball team, and I thought Elon would have played better. But
looking back at Haynes is a Virginia Tech transfer, and he was well documented. He was going to help East Tennessee. the game was competitive for most, and I think East Tennessee, you know, felt pulled away in the last few minutes. It did surprise me to see Harvard beat Elon, but not many points. You know, okay. They had control all the way. We mentioned last time, as far as East Tennessee, with the players they have been coming back and adding Haynes, recall last year they beat Murray State and they beat Georgia, despite having on the 500 record. I mean, Murray State's got several guys on LSU's team right now that are starting. So I'm not surprised that East Tennessee actually played well in the tournament.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, I'm just flipping through here and I haven't dug deep, but yeah, that no tournament team. That's unusual in this day and age, but I guess maybe there wasn't enough sports writers or something there for it. I don't, you know, each tournament is done differently. So whether it's coaches or sports writers.
Right. In the middle or this early in the year, a lot of the sports writers still follow their football teams. I do want to say one more thing about the East Tennessee game. Apparently their campus is about an hour away from Asheville, you know, just a little further west from there to North Carolina, Tennessee border, which allowed them to bring their band. And we had a dozen fans there, but they probably had a couple of hundred, if not more. So it was what I call a semi road game for us. And that's probably another factor in us losing the lead. You know, we're probably getting energy from their fans that, you know, hard for a dozen people to match the fan energy, a few hundred. Which probably allowed East Tennessee to make that run. So I think that only is going to help us when we get into conference games. And in a couple of weeks, you know, we'll be going to SMU and Drake.
You know, it's just looking at the box score again, there were about 600 to 700 more fans on Sunday than there were on Friday afternoon in our game. I don't know what the Elon East Tennessee State game drew, but, you know, that's you know, 700 more fans. And it could have helped that it was on a Sunday as well, 3:30 in the afternoon. Neutral court game. So,
good for us to experience a little bit about when the fans are against you and the other bands out there. And hopefully we'll have our band out there tomorrow night. I think we will when we play Louisiana Tech in the Cajun Dome.
Yep. So let's move on. Let's talk some basketball. We got Louisiana Tech coming up Thursday night. I don't think it's too much to say that it's the biggest game of this young season so far, for many reasons.
It's only a big game because we won the tournament.
Yes.
Yeah. It wouldn't be quite as incredible. Maybe if we'd lost, it'd actually be bigger. It'd be a must win. Louisiana Tech has won a non D1 game by, you know, double figures as they should, and they played Texas Tech in Lubbock on Monday night. I didn't get to watch the game. I had another commitment, but I talked to people who did, and I've looked at the box score. Apparently, Louisiana Tech early in the game didn't play very well. They were down 16-2. They were never really in danger of catching up with the Red Raiders. I think they caught the lead to 5 or 6 or something like that a few times early in the second half. They were turning the ball over some. Red Raiders got a big lead. Some people went in. They got some offensive rebounds. They got the crowd into the game. One thing I noticed, too, that helped the Red Raiders get a lead, they had 11 block shots. One guy had 6 for the Red Raiders. So that would be interesting to see if maybe our big guys, you know, the Terrence or Jordan or Joe, if he can play coming off the bench, can protect our rim. But then in the second half, the Red Raiders started turning the ball over, allowed Tech to make the game somewhat of a game, when it ended up 64-55, the final score. You know, you would say that's a normal score, 9 points between a mid-major and a power school, and Texas Tech has been really good in basketball the last few years. So not a bad showing by the Bulldogs. It shows they're not going to give up. You know, they're going to fight us every inch. And with their rivalry, you know, they're not going to lay down. Looking at those stats, you know, they didn't shoot the ball very well from the either free throw line or from the three-point line. They shot well from the free throw line, rather. They didn't shoot very well from the field or from the three-point line. But Louisiana Tech was going against one of the top defensive teams historically when Chris Beard was there in the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And the Red Raiders got a little sloppy. They turned the ball over a few times in the second half, which allowed the Bulldogs to make a game of it. So how do we match up well against
them? I was going to say, how much of that sloppiness do you think it is when you get that lead? You're trying to, you know, especially early on in the season. I don't think you're as disciplined as you are later on in the season. You get that lead and you think you're going to do stuff and your, you know, your passes aren't as crisp. Do you think a lot of that has to do with that this early on being?
Well, looking at the box score, The Red Raiders played 11 people, and most of them played, nine of them played significant minutes. So some of that probably got the lead and started subbing a little bit, and maybe those guys are not quite as focused as the starters. Let's talk about the people who did watch the game. Tell me one guy they were really impressed with for Tech is their first guy off the bench, 6'10 forward sophomore named Hunter. Ended up scoring 10 points and perfect from the field, did well inside. He's number one. Look for number one coming off the bench inside. And their best guard made 3 3-pointers is number 24, a guy named Williams. Ended up with 16 points, their leading scorer. So that might be two guys to watch out for in tomorrow night's game.
That was one thing I noticed also, bench points, 20 points off the bench for Louisiana Tech, which is a third of their scoring came from their bench. But if one guy picked up 10 of that, that can definitely be can get into some trouble there.
So. Yeah, friends who watched the game, I say that one guy who had 10, he thought he was their most impressive player in the team. They're surprised he didn't start. Of course, you know, he didn't miss a shot, 10 points, 4 for 4 from the field, 2 for 3 from the line. And but he only had 2 rebounds. For a 16 guy, maybe on 2 rebounds, maybe why he's not starting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what's our advantage going against them? Well, to me, I looked right there, okay, because they didn't shoot the ball that well. They didn't shoot the ball on the three-point line. And our philosophy is, just as we saw against East Tennessee, we're going to run you on the three-point line. Our analytics show that, you know, if we can get a lead, you know, we'll match you 2 for 2 and maybe make a 3 now and then. We've got to keep our turnovers down. And Tech forced 20. You know, we've got 21 in 2 games. We got to keep our number below 12. Yeah, they've got a good big guy there, sophomore. You know, looks like we got 2 guys, you know, with Lewis and Jordan in there. We may have an advantage inside, you know, with just a little more depth. George Charles, I think, that'd be a critical guy. Hopefully he can play. If not, Isaiah's going to have to continue that good defensive play and maybe hold his emotions a little check and sure he doesn't foul like he did in the last play of the game.
Well, I was going to say, if Joe Charles doesn't play, this is going to be a huge opportunity for Isaiah Richards to show that he should be on the court. So he needs to take advantage of that for himself, but also take advantage of that for the Cajuns. So,
yeah. And you talked about their 20 points off the bench. We had, you know, close to that amount, but all 4 of our guys, and the bench is going to have to contribute. You know, we'll need to see Jalen and either that or Chancellor White actually scores off the bench a little bit, relax a little bit, take the shot to flow. Don't be too excited when you let the ball go.
Yeah, I think Michael Thomas, especially, I mean, we got to make sure that our I don't need him to score as much, but he's if he's coming off the bench to play the point, he's got to be able to handle the ball well. So
yeah, not turning over. He's done a good job scoring in the first 2 games. Yeah, at times he dribbles too much. He needs to actually get the ball to the big guys a little more efficiently. Yeah, so it should be a fun game tomorrow night. I don't expect it to be a blowout either way. You know, of course, it'd be great to, you know, have a comfortable lead and not go through the second half lull. We talked about second half lull earlier. One thing interesting in the postgame show, Coach Marlin mentioned that's happened in most of our games, including the scrimmages. Of course, he didn't give any details on that, but interesting that the coaches recognize that. I don't know what they can do about it. Maybe they'll look into their substitution patterns a little different or whatever, or they'll just talk about it, you know. Of course, if you talk about it too much, it becomes a mental issue.
Yeah.
You know, it'll just be an idea probably. Okay, just stay focused for 40 minutes and don't lose that 5 or 6 minute lull there that we really go brain dead a couple of times.
Absolutely. Mike, any last thoughts, comments, whether it be the season, the tournament? I mean, like you said, to open this thing, championships are always good. So,
We'll talk about the tomorrow night, you know. Hopefully we'll have a decent crowd out there. Coach Marlin mentioned that he knows there'll be some good students, a good student turnout. He said that in his post-game show. He may be aware of some promotions on campus to get students out that are for him to say that. I hope there are. I've seen a couple other things on social media where fans can pose with the kayak that was given us the championship trophy pregame. So hopefully we'll have a few people there. We won't have the issue we did in the first game. It won't be a doubleheader. You know, regular 7 o'clock game, men only. Hope people can make it. What are your thoughts about the crowd that we need tomorrow night?
I'm hoping to if we can get anything over 4,000, I think it will be good. I still think people are still a little bit in football mode, even though you know, especially with the big win last Thursday. I think unfortunately, some of the fans, it's kind of a wait and see. We normally don't have big crowds until after New Year's, but at the same time, this is Louisiana Tech. This is an old rivalry. It goes back to the early 1900s. I think some people are going to come out for it. So here I am talking to myself into a bigger crowd. So
I'm I'd be real happy with 4,000 because of the early season things. I will say this, though. If the team puts on a good performance tomorrow night for the people who do go, that'll help them going forward. And then, you know, we'll have the weekend off, but the next weekend we go to SMU and Drake, two games on the road against quality opponents. I said it was 2 weeks away. Actually, by a week from now, we'll play two games. The SMU game is a payday game. It's on Tuesday night. Yep. I'm not quite sure what they have. I saw somebody put on social media they had like, they won 20 games last year or something, or close to it. Not sure what they have coming back. But, you know, it's a road game early in the season, and we just talked about, you know, it was good for us to play a semi-road game Sunday, so we'll see a real road game comes. My hope is, you know, the team tomorrow night doesn't get too excited. You know, they got to be focused and ready to go. But if you get too pumped up, you know, you can play out of control at times. You have to control that emotion by still playing hard.
Absolutely.
If you do that, then you can make some shots. You know, I talked about earlier, some guys are shooting the ball a little too hard, a little too much excitement. Let's control that and just knock those shots in when you get open. Now, fortunately, Jordan and Lewis are experienced players, our two best players inside. Both have a lot of experience. They probably won't be, the pressure won't bother them.
No, but we got to be able to handle the ball. That's going to be the key to the game, I think, turnovers. We can't let pressure defense by Tech take control of the game. So
yeah, right. Well, that's a good point. You know, team forced 20 turnovers against a Big 12 team. You know, we've only had 21 in two games. You know, that stat could be the game. When the game ends, the team has the less turnovers, probably win. You know, something about basketball. Even if your shot's not falling, if you play good, steady defense, get some stops. I know our guys like to say three and outs. You know, if you get three consecutive stops, you know, you got a good chance to win the game if you can do it three, four times throughout the contest. But if you out-rebound your opponent, make your free throws, and don't turn it over, you can still win if you have a bad shooting night. So they need to keep playing hard even if the shots don't fall.
My high school coach used our goal was always if we had 40 possessions, we wanted to score on 20 of them. And if they had 40 possessions, we wanted to hold them less than scoring on 20 of them. So you want to go 50% either way. So if you can hold them to not making as many baskets on their possessions, obviously you're going to win some games. So,
yeah, 70 points is a sort of a bellwether for college basketball. If you score over 70, you should win. If you hold your team under 70, you should win. This past game, it was 81-77. We gave up a lot of points in the second half. Well, now, a lot of us talked about it before because Jordan was in foul trouble, so we couldn't use him on the double, and we didn't have Joe. And the other team plays hard, too. Yeah, they found a mismatch, and they took advantage of it. Despite all that, you know, we limited their threes. Tech didn't shoot the ball very well from three. I don't know if that's because of the Texas Tech defense or they just maybe not as good shooting the ball three-point line as they – when they had Junior Lofton, you know, they were pretty good at the three-point shot because, same like I say, for Jordan, he was good at passing the ball out as well. He's now playing in the professionals.
Was wondering what happened. I didn't know if he was playing professionally or if he had transferred to a bigger school.
Yeah, I don't know if he got drafted that second round, but I forget which team. He's with some team, but he may be in their G League. But he's not playing college ball anymore. So anyway, he was their big guy, but you know, we lost Dio, so and, you know, and he's over at Ole Miss now. Every team sees through that in college basketball. I want to say one thing about the league. I understand that we've had three good wins against major schools. Troy beat Florida State, Southern Miss beat Vanderbilt, and
App State beat Louisville last night.
Right. Apparently, App State beat Louisville. I understand there was a controversial end of that game. Louisville is not nearly as good as they were in the past. It's their second loss to a mid-major in the last few days. But still, resources-wise, basketball, Louisville to App State, you know, it's a huge difference. So good win for the league. Our three good wins. So we need to continue that tomorrow night.
Absolutely. And one game that won't get talked about is Georgia State beat Mercer, who is a pretty decent basketball team as well. Came back to beat them, I think it was 93-92. So that's Georgia State
game there.
Yeah, it was going back and forth. I was following on stats last night, going back and forth while I was recording with Danny. And fun to have college basketball back. So
Yeah. Then Alabama played South Alabama last night as well in Mobile.
Yeah, that turned out to be a blowout. I believe they won by about 20 points, if I remember correctly, seeing that Alabama, not South Alabama. So that was
South Alabama always has, right. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how they got it in Mobile. Probably it's a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of
they did the same thing with Auburn. They got Auburn there a couple years ago or within the last couple years. So, but
I understand the crowd was like 7,500. And of course, if we had LSU here, you know, we probably would do better than that. But, you know, 2-for-1s are, you really don't make, unless you get a good crowd in your home game, you lose you financially because you basically don't get paid anything the two times. You go for free and they come to you and you don't pay them anything. You only get your crowd. So financially, it's not a good deal. But, you know, there's other things beyond just finances when you think about that. You know, getting a school like that at your home court is sometimes you can't put a dollar figure on it. The benefit it does to your program.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, South Alabama also has a lot of transfers every year. I understand they have 10 this year, and they may be a better team as the season goes along as they gel. They probably haven't played together much.
Well, word is, talking around the league, it's they do not gel at the end of the year. Most of them by the end of the year can't stand their coach. So, and people around there are hoping that he wins so that he'll leave. So,
I'll never get to the point where I hope my team loses regardless. So,
of course. Actually, it ended up being a 10-point game, but I think that was 65-55 Alabama. I thought that was and I don't know where I read or where I heard that it was a 10-point game at the half, and then it 33 both teams scored 33 in the second half, so it was a 10-point game. So I don't know where I heard or where I read that it was a blowout. So
it may be that in the second half that Alabama got out to a 20-point lead and then relaxed in the last few minutes.
So
anyway, okay. That was an interesting game within the league. There have been some other interesting games. We'll have three good ones coming up with Tech, SMU, and Drake.
Absolutely. This is a fun time.
We'll go to Drake, I think, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, the same day we play Texas Tech.
Ah, yes, correct. I was wondering
about that. That's up in Iowa, so we don't have many fans of that game. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how the team handles a true road trip. Let's hope they can go off with some momentum after tomorrow night and people go to the game, enjoy it, and the team puts on a good show for them, and they'll come back to the Cajun Dome when the team returns.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, I appreciate your time as always. We'll get together again as soon as we've got some more basketball played, and we'll see
you. With Thanksgiving coming up, it might be a little while before we can get, you know, I've got an out-of-town trip coming up, so probably have to go through a few games before we can get back together.
Absolutely.
We'll work it out. Just give us more games to talk about.
Yes. Well, Mike, appreciate it, and we'll see you at the Dome tomorrow night. So
we'll do.
You've been listening. We're talking today. We've been talking basketball, Raging Cajun basketball, with longtime Cajun fan Mike Hebert.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.